Yeah, right now, many people listening to the sound of my voice are no doubt on one of the major thoroughfares that are often crowded, and chief among them in this area is the I-270 corridor, which runs, you know, up toward Rockville and Germantown and on up into Frederick, and it's a mess, folks. It's just a disaster during rush hour, and it has been for a while. They keep building houses out there, and they don't do anything about the roads. But maybe that's going to change because there is a new group getting together to talk about this and new studies being conducted. Yes, you got to study it first. Richard Parsons is with us now. He's the vice chairman of the Suburban Maryland Transportation Alliance, which is a business and civic advocacy group that is urging them to do something about I-270, and thank goodness for that. Rich, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so look, I think everybody agrees that you could probably build some more lanes, let's say north of Germantown up toward Frederick, and that would be helpful. But as you get, you know, south of Germantown and keep coming toward the split, how do you expand what is there? I mean, is it possible, or are you looking at other ideas?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. What you've got is a situation where over the years there have been some improvements to parts of I-270, but there's two sections. As you go out in the afternoon during that lovely rush hour that everybody's so familiar with, you start out with a nice wide section of 270, but then it chokes down to two lanes in each direction. And there's 200,000 people plus using this every day. And there's just no way that 200,000 people can actually choke down into two lanes and still have anything other than a traffic nightmare, which is what we've got. So it's the portion of I-270 really in northern Montgomery County and extending into Frederick. It's never been widened since it was built that's causing that problem in the afternoon. In the morning rush hour, which we're seeing right now, you've got kind of the same situation. You come down from Frederick, you hit a section that has been widened and traffic would normally free up a bit, except that as you get down to the spurs, again, it chokes down to two general purpose lanes right in each direction when you hit the spur. So you've got a choke point at the top and you've got a choke point at the bottom. There are people who will say, oh, you widened the road, but it didn't fix it. Well, you only widened part of the road. And when you widen part of a road and don't widen the rest, you create these choke points. And that's what we're looking at with a pretty, I think, imaginative and bold solution that would not only add some new lanes in here, but also reconfigure the whole road so you've got a transit component. You can put bus rapid transit on new express lanes.
There it is.
And really make things move.
Yeah, the bus rapid transit. Why is it that there seems to be such a singular focus on this? Because I don't know that a lot of people, that the idea of getting on a bus, it works with their lifestyle. It's not really helpful to them. They say, well, it's very nice, and I guess some people will use it. But by and large, it's not an application that many people will find useful, I think. And we seem to be really focused on the bus rapid transit.
Well, we're focusing on two things. One is adding lane capacity.
Yeah, I know, and I get that. But why?
Then,
why is there?
And then using the bus rapid transit in those lanes. But let me break it down a bit, because the average, when you look at any of the interstate highways in this region, you got to look at what those trips are. Because your point is a good one. It is lane capacity that does the most to relieve congestion. The bus rapid transit, there's actually a market for it, and the studies show it could be effective. But that alone is not going to really move the needle on reducing congestion, which is really what most of us want. It's adding the capacity where we have these choke points that's key. That multimodal capacity is important, but 90% of the trips out there are using automobiles, and about 10% in this region are using transit in other modes.
I always question these. If in the ideal scenario, sir, if the bus rapid transit part of your proposal went through, how many buses during any given morning rush hour would you imagine seeing?
You know, that kind of specificity is why we need to finish these studies, because we don't have an answer for that until we go through the formal study process and actually get
But that's kind of key, isn't it? I mean, even if, I mean, I doubt it's going to be more than 100 buses, right? But 100, you fit 40 people in a bus, and let's say you have 100 buses, that's still just a drop in the bucket when you think of the volume that's really coming in on I-270. By 1999, the congestion on I-270 had already hit the 2010 levels. The I-270 was not designed to take the kind of volume for the people who have moved to this area, and we continue to grow. There's even more new housing coming in the areas that you're talking about between Germantown and Frederick. Isn't it true that the only real solution here is to either add lanes to I-270, the existing expressway, or build a new expressway?
Well, I think you're right, and you put your finger on something that a lot of leaders here in this region don't seem to understand, is that, you know, as the region grows, we have not historically added capacity to the highway network to keep pace with population growth.
Yeah,
in fact,
right.
If you look at any decade, of any of the last three decades, you've seen something like 30 to 40% increases in job growth and population growth. You've seen a 10% increase or less in highway capacity. And that, so we've built up over this time what I think is a pretty huge backlog. It's a capacity deficit. There's many ways you can call it, but you are absolutely right. There is a way to fix this, and it has to involve adding new capacity. Now, what we do with that capacity is where we're really trying to push, you know, a multimodal approach here, because you can use that capacity more efficiently if we can transform what is now a current, you know, kind of single-use highway into a dual-use transit and road facility.
What?
And you can get more people through per hour if you're using a combination of toll lanes.
But only if people use the transit option.
Well, and this is where I come back.
Some will, but most won't, but some will.
All right, so you got this plan. I mean, I'm going to come back to this bus thing, because it always comes up. This is the solution, is the rapid buses. All right, rapid buses can't move rapidly unless you take a lane away from other people and make it a bus lane.
Well, that's why we're talking about adding new capacity for.
But you're not going to be able to do that, with all due respect, and I'm not trying to be argumentative here. You can't do that in the lower part of the Beltway. How do you expand that? It's pretty locked in, isn't it?
Unless you displace residents or businesses.
Well, you don't have to. There's plenty of right-of-way in the 270 corridor to add two new lanes in each direction, actually, in the northern part. When you get down to
I'm talking about the southern part.
The southern part, you may need to only add one lane, or in some places, just you've got those collector distributor lanes. You might be able to just reconfigure the roadway in the southern part. Again, the southern part is probably wide enough, and the studies will show whether you need to do any further widening there or not. The problem is, what's happening is there's choke points at either end that are backing traffic up through that section, and that's what's causing the problem. You've got to fix the problem at both ends of the road. The middle section is actually not that.
Would it be helpful for the other government leaders to perhaps put a moratorium on new building of homes in an area that can't support those homes?
Well, you know, people say that, but that's actually not much of a factor here. If you look at the growth rate in Montgomery County and even in Frederick, it is dramatically slowed in recent years. The truth is, we are not growing rapidly. There's not a lot of new housing coming in here, and there's not a lot of job growth in Montgomery County. And that's one of the problems. The traffic congestion, I think, is keeping a lot of employers from.
That's true. The job growth might be because nobody wants to go where it's impossible to get to work on time.
Well, these are tough issues.
Yeah,
I know these are tough issues. Look, at least we're talking about it. At least there's a recognition that something needs to be done. Buses, I'm not sure. Okay.
well, this combination works, and we know from the previous studies that have been put on hold and put on hold and put on hold, but we know there's a lot of data on this already, and we know that if we do the plan that we've put forward, we can see improvements in peak hour speeds of up to 87% in the afternoon rush hour, and up to 70% improvement in your peak hour speed coming in the morning.
We're out of time here, Richard Parsons. Sadly, we have to give a traffic update for people who are stuck in our current problems on I-270. Richard Parsons from the Suburban Maryland Transportation Alliance.